Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, and it's May 15th, the first day of what my co-host Lavendar calls Pleiadian Lineup. This event is just starting and will continue through the 18th when the Sun conjuncts with the Pleiadian degrees of Taurus, which are 25, 26, and 27. During this time each year, there will be heightened Pleiadian activity as they tend to their projects, start new ones, make observations, and take graduates home. It's a time for realignment, recommitment, and reevaluation on our parts. If you need help and guidance, this is a good time to request it, as the telepathic signal has a power boost during this period. We can always call home, but the connection is stronger during this time. It's a great time to charge your crystals with this frequency. Just clean them first with salted water or vinegar and put them in the outdoor sun during the noon hours over these days. It doesn't matter if it's rainy, it still happens. Your crystals will hold and amplify the Pleiadian frequency to empower you year-round. The next alignment will be in November, as it is every year during May and November, when the Sun reaches galactic degrees 25, 26, and 27. Now I'd like to welcome my co-host, Lavendar, and get the details. What exactly is Pleiadian Lineup?
You know, a long time ago, an advanced civilization from the Pleiades star cluster, they introduced their genetics on planet Earth. And they observed through the evolution of the species, you know, many different experiments and how to further spiritual development. Atlantis, one of my favorite topics, and of course Egypt and the Greek civilizations were all Pleiadian projects. Their program, its energy signature, was encoded and imprinted on DNA. The way fingerprints, you know, are left behind when you touch something. This energy signature responds to its own origins, you know, kind of like a radio tuned to one station. You know, when our sun is at galactic degree, like 25, 26, 27 degrees of Taurus or Scorpio, you know, we're in an astronomical alignment with the Pleiades, both at the conjunct in Taurus or the opposition in Scorpio. The Pleiadian energy signature on the planet is activated like a gong that lasts for 3 or 4 days, twice a year. It is a time of Pleiadian entrances and exits. When they tend to their projects, whether starting them, they're maintaining them, or just ending them, those with matching energy signatures can be activated, which means they like wake up. Those already awake can be empowered. And those ready to finish or graduate, well, they may leave the planet. Or they may just start something new at a higher level. While the Pleiadian interaction here, you know, isn't limited to this timing, it is the time of the highest activity. And someone born with a planet or a house cusp at galactic degree in Taurus or Scorpio would be connected to the Pleiadians at some level all the time, unless their bloodline had been so intermixed that the original encoding, you know, is kind of skewed. You know, it's like your radio station isn't coming in loud and clear, and if you really want to, you can train your ears to listen. So, I ask people to pay attention to what happens on May 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, and November 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. You know, not only in your personal life, but on the global scale. You'll see it on television. Keep up with it in the news. Look at the internet. See what's kind of going on. Because of the leap year, you know, sometimes the sun might reach 25 degrees before the 16th. But that's something you may easily find out thanks to the internet, as it is, you know, astronomical information. You know, this spring, it starts around noon on the 15th, and it goes really high speed through the 18th. So ultimately, the Pleiadian agenda is one of spiritual development toward the ability of a species to live in harmony with each other, realizing a group consensus or consciousness comes together to live with balance with nature. When we call, you know, what we call Pleiadian lineup is both an astronomical alignment and a time for activation. Realignment or action concerning Pleiadian agendas, and this information comes from the Pleiadians and is published on the internet at our website, www.starseedhotline.com.
Let me ask you, a lot of people always, they say that everyone on the planet has extraterrestrial origins genetically. And so does that make everybody starseed?
There are, I understand that question, and I have been asked it many times. The starseed activation happens with the bloodlines that are, you know, it's like putting them in a certain program. There's a lot of people on the planet that aren't in the program. They're here just to evolve through their own spiritual awareness of taking smaller steps through their evolutionary path. They don't have to deal with extraterrestrial matters. They don't have to think in planetary scope. They only have to think about chopping wood, carrying water. And from other realms come here to just simply have the adventure and the experiences of living with nature. There's several types of experiments. You know, and one of these days, maybe I will just sit down and I will just write down all the different evolutionary spiritual experiments that are here and the ones that are galactic in nature. You've heard me say before that there's spiritual 101 and then there's galactic 404. However, there is a bridge that needs to happen, and that bridge is, you know, that's a 333. I call it the 333 bridge, because through the understanding, after your spiritual development happens and you want to know more and your bloodline is beeping and saying, you know what, we're ready for a jump, we're going to cross that bridge, and that's when people awaken and say, you know, I want to know more. I know about my bloodlines on the planet Earth. Now I want to know about my bloodlines from the stars. And it's that willingness to take that step forward. Why? Because all programs on this planet are given something so unique to this planet, and it's called free will. Free will is the key word. It's when you decide that you want to take a step forward, you can. If you want to take a step backward, you can. It is the one program that, you know, it gives you, you know, in all these internet games, you know, it gives you that free pass, or it gives you that extra little something where you can go to your next level.
Like the power-ups and the upgrades.
The power-up. Yeah, it's a power-up. Absolutely. So does that answer your question?
Yes, I have this. I was getting this image of like buying a car where you can have various options, and even though your car can have a little space for the extra GPS unit, whether or not you opt in for that, you still have the car and you can still go there, but you might not care about that right now.
That's right. You don't care about it right now.
And is there a difference in the souls? Like, are some of these, you know, physical vehicles inhabited by extraterrestrial souls, and others are inhabited by souls from an evolutionary program through nature and our own Earth spiritual process?
Okay, let's take, for example, the stewards. There are people that have come to our planet to be stewards. And the stewardship has to do with the balancing of the grid, balancing with the divas and the earth, and these 33 gem PowerPoints. Some of the stewards that live at these PowerPoints, they are extraterrestrial beings, but guess what? They're stuck in chopping wood, carrying water. Consciousness. On purpose. On purpose. It is their cloaking device. It is their safety for protection. They may live on a piece of land that's holding the entrance and exits for many scout ships and many computer readouts, and they don't have to know not one thing about it. They don't have to be conscious of it. They just simply have to have their vehicle parked there so that it turns on, gives the information readouts that are necessary. They don't have to be bothered with seeing lights in the sky or you know, having to be part of the Pleiadian lineup or being conscious. They don't have to. Now, if they happen to, fine. They don't have to. It's in their DNA. It's in their program.
So they just have to live there in their natural state.
Natural state, absolutely.
And what about this upcoming Pleiadian lineup? Will it be different from maybe others in the past?
Well, I think so. You know, I've been attuned to Pleiadian lineup for all these years, and at every Pleiadian lineup, I do notice different things happening. But this one especially, because of the millions of walk-ins that came to the planet last November. And they have been not asleep. I'm not going to say none of them are really asleep, but they have been getting used to vibratory energies like food and cell phone towers and technology here and you know, consciousness, and they're having to just adjust to, you know, the last time they were here. You know, if they haven't been here for 3,500 years, can you imagine the shock of what's taking place for their system? You know, the last time they visited, they came to Cairo in their ships and did their walk-in experiments for a little while and left, you know, and maybe some of them haven't been back since then. Or maybe some of them were here, you know, briefly in 83 and left, and they're back. Now, those won't have that much trouble. Why? Because it won't be that much of an adjustment. So there are different levels of adjustment for the walk-ins. But dismay, this is where, you know, the cosmic wind index comes, and they're kind of allowed to come. You know, it's like they're stepping out of their shell, they're walking forward, and they're displaying some of their intent a little stronger. Some of it is going to be explosive. Some of it is going to be gentle. You know, nobody said what this is going to look like. All forms of experiments are going to go through, you know, a mass reevaluation, distribution of energies. We're going to have more volcanoes, more earthquakes, more land changes, more political upheaval. You know, I just made a list of some of the things that we, you know, might want to consider. I think that I'll just give them as bullet points. Scientific discoveries balancing out destructive measures, atomic concerns, or a primary. You know, that one is very, very dear to my heart, because when I first came to the planet, and I was born into a body 3 days after they split the atom on the planet. And, of course, I went around and rounded up as many people as I could to say, look, we've got to go to Earth now. So that one is very dear to me. And I did live in Nevada for a while, and I was part of the atomic balancing procedures for many years. A second one, political figures being replaced by walk-ins or clones. Leaders of nations balancing the needs of the people with the planet. Well, I think that has already started to happen. We're seeing some, you know, major shifting with nations right now, especially in England. Implant technology will surface on a global scale of knowledge, along with the GPS tracking from satellites. And guess what? They're placed there by ETs instead of our government. Our government is going to get so upset that something is placed on the satellites that they can't go up there and take off. This is going to be, I think, kind of funny. And you're going to be hearing about this later. Nikola Tesla, one of my favorite subjects, and all those Tesla experiments at every level will be revealed, including the cloning of the Tesla kids on the planet. the ones that have his genius DNA and some unfulfilled missions. And you'll see some of those unfulfilled missions start walking forward and displaying themselves. And a lot of them are going to go forward such that you'll be able to witness them years later as Nobel Peace Prize winners. You know, Tesla was not Pleiadian. He was actually from Orion. But he was loaned to the Pleiadian experiments. And there's many crossovers. There's many Pleiadians, Orion bloodlines, the mixture. So, but remember, the Pleiadians really have the play on the planet at this time. ET technology will surface and will force the UFO disclosure to the masses as other foreign countries will take the lead away from the United States. I wrote this the other day before we had that wild election in England. The Prime Minister, of course, released, I think, in the last couple of days, his urgent message about disclosure, saying that he is going to get to the bottom of the UFO matter. So I'm pretty excited, you know, that this is going to happen. And Jeff Peckman, who's up in Denver doing the ballot initiative for Denver in August, he sent me an email about this, and I really want to encourage everyone to go on extracampaign.org and see what Jeff Peckman's doing about disclosure, because and his ballot initiative. I think that this is so exciting. It's starting to pop up everywhere. No longer can we stick our head in the sand and say it's not happening, because it is. And it's like, okay, the Obama administration has been warned several times. If you don't do it, we will. France has already said, if you don't disclose UFO activities, we will. Not England is saying it. So I think this is pretty exciting news as far as disclosure goes.
And about time.
Earth's planetary ecosystem with climate changes becomes predominant, you know, as more destruction and famine and loss of stability within the ecosystem demands changing of the guard. And stewards of these gem PowerPoints will be reinforced as other stewards of the land will hold devices for frequency of balance and will become beacons of planetary balance. In other words, the people that have been living at these gem PowerPoints that I mentioned a while ago, other beings are going to show up to help them. And I don't know what that's really going to look like. There may be, you know, construction, new buildings, or more people, or maybe communities are going to set up around. I don't really know what that's going to look like. But the stewards will not be alone with this any longer. Because of the delicate balance of the planet, this is really required now. Alternative energy sources are demanded and given globally. Of course, we're seeing that through the green environmental movement. And some of these Tesla kids are really coming out with more and more alternative energy devices. And years ago, I was part of a team trying to get a particular product to stop the oil leakage. And we were stopped at every turn. And that company wasn't funded. And every time I watch TV, I think about this because I know of a product that literally can soak up the oil, and it would really be a benefit now. So it makes me sad sometimes when I see the things that we've tried to put on the planet and we were unable to because of the powers that be that just wouldn't allow it. Food resources will change the nutritional value of nourishment. This one is kind of tricky. There's going to be some new developments that are coming from the Pleiades that will show the interaction of herbs and plants and organics that's going to raise the vibratory rate of the human structure and the DNA. There's combinations that haven't been given before. You know, each of the planets have different herbs, plants, rocks. You know, the Pleiades, they brought certain kinds of plants and rocks. Orion did. You know, Arcturus did. All the different species have brought their contributions. You know, sea life and animals. But there's combinations now that they're going to arrange for health purposes, for bringing the DNA up to its maximum. You know, they're talking about finding the genetic DNA that's junk. Well, that junk is going to come alive. And the scientists are going to scratch their head big time. Okay.
Let me ask you, if the reverse isn't also true, foods that are either genetically modified or polluted with,
right,
contaminated with chemicals and all,
right,
that, if that also doesn't go the other way and take,
well,
interfere with the consciousness, interfere with the connection to the extraterrestrials.
Why do you think they're coming with these formulas? That's the reason. They saw what the genetic food bank did, and they went, no, we're bringing something. This is the antidote.
Because we're slowly being poisoned.
Right. Okay, the next one. Harmful chemicals will be identified and be neutralized on several levels. And nobody said what this is going to look like. There could be some very, very upsetting destruction happen. You know, some chemical plants may go boom, or things may just be taken offline. Or it's like, you know what? You just can't keep pumping that stuff and doing what you're doing. Whatever it is. So, you know, people are going to go into action on the ground and from the sky over this. The secret of Star Wars technology will be announced in detail to the masses. I don't know how this is going to be presented, but I'm guessing that it's going to be something like, you know, maybe Jesse Ventura on conspiracy theory, or I know he's done a little bit about it, but maybe he's going to go deeper. But some television show or something that's going to be created in a movie that's really going to talk about the Star Wars technology, because they have it and they've been, you know, they've been using it and they've been trying to shoot some spaceships out of the sky with it. And there's some videos on the internet that you can find where actually we're shooting down some scout ships that do come to visit our planet. The mind control technology will cause millions to go to the street and outcry. When people really see and understand more about the manipulation of their minds through media, through genetics, through these implants, through the missing children, you know, when it really dawns on the mothers, the grandmothers, and the aunts of what happened to the missing kids on the milk cartons, they're going to march on Washington. They can't help but do it. I mean, this is just one example. Not to mention some of the other, you know, insane experiments that they have been conducting through implant technology.
Are you talking about military implant technology that was received from the ETs? Or are you talking about ET technology?
Both. See, there's some species that decided to come and hijack the human race. They hijacked them and went against the free will agenda. They said, oh, we're just going to hijack that person. And when we hijack them, they're no longer going to have free will like they were intended to have. See, that's a big violation. And some species came down here and did that. And they continue to do that. That's a whole nother subject. Really don't want to go any further with that right now, but I'm working on it, and maybe later I will divulge some about that. It's too risky for me now. Okay, ancient scrolls depicting past Pleiadian experiments, those are going to surface and be documented. You know, we found a lot of things already, you know, through the pyramids, but some other things are going to be surfacing in South America, even here in the United States. We have some places in Colorado that are, you know, high experimental stations, and some of those places are going to be unearthed, and you'll be able to know where they are and to visit them. Quartz crystals will receive a new influx of interest, especially for starseed walk-ins, lightworkers, indigos, and crystal children. So we had this big wave in the early 80s on quartz crystals. Well, guess what? We're fixing to have it again. The crystal mines are going to be getting a lot of business. The metaphysical bookstores are going to brim over again with quartz crystals. Here's the next wave of this hue and flux of quartz crystals. And the crystal mines in Arkansas, they're going to reveal and give up secrets from the old Atlanteans, because the old Atlanteans came to get their crystals. They mined the crystals from Arkansas area. They thought that they were of such quality that they used them in their temples. They used them to build the giant crystal that they had in the middle of the continent. Of course, it was very attuned to what we call the harp device here, because it helped control the weather, it gave rain, it did all kinds of things. But of course, when they misused the crystal, then Atlantis went bye-bye. And before it went bye-bye, they came up to Arkansas and went into the mines and planted some crystals to be reactivated, time-released, thousands and thousands of years later, when this next experiment, which we're in right now, would be coming to a close, and it would activate through the quartz crystals. So the distribution of the crystals on this second wave are going to be coming out. People are going to have them in their houses. They're going to be beep beeps and beacons, and they're going to be codes that go off, and it's going to empower, and you're, like I said, little game, power-ups. Everybody's got a power-up in their house, and it's going to remind them who they are, why they're here, their natural state, and their rites of passage, all in one energetic move, especially when the days are aligned to 25, 26, 27 degrees of any sign.
Well, I'd like to repeat what we said earlier about charging your crystals on Pleiadian lineup dates. Would you please go over that again?
Well, on these dates, every month, there are a set of conjunctions, but mostly the sun. The sun, when the sun is 25, 26, 27 degrees, and it's around the middle of the month. It could be anywhere from the 15th to the 20th of any month. But you look at an ephemeris, or you, you know, find an astrologer that, you know, will tell you when. And you take the crystals, and what I like to do is I wash them with vinegar and sometimes with salt water, and I put them out in the sun, and they sit there for 3 days. And that means they're powered up. And then when they come into the house, the next alignment that comes the very next month, actually the new moon alignment the next month, they kind of wake up, you know, and then they power up, and then on the full moon they power up twice and go pow pow. That's kind of how they act in the house. And again, it just reinforces you know, evolutionary programs on the planet. And if you can imagine that, you know, thousands or millions of people, if they start doing this, and what a jump that we're going to make in evolutionary thought, if people, you know, really take to heart about their crystal work and their crystals and what they're doing with their crystals and becoming conscious of it. You know, it's one thing to be conscious of it. It's another just for it to happen normally. You know, this is going to happen whether they're conscious of it or not. I'm just bringing this up in a way that gives you a plan of action if you want to participate as a willing, conscious being. Otherwise, it's going to happen anyway. When they're in the sun, it's just a little stronger. If they're in the house and you can't take them outside, guess what? It's still going to happen, just not as strong. You know, there's the shade. Okay, we're going to pull down the shade, and we're just going to get, you know, a little dose. But if the sun hits it, it's going to go full blown.
So it's just something that is something that each of us can do, each of us that have crystals, and I'm sure most starseed do have an interest in a collection of crystals. Just consciously taking them out, honoring them, giving them that little extra dose of nutrition from the sun.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, have heard about HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. You can Google it, find out all the information you'll ever need to know about this technology that's up in Alaska. But HAARP, attached to military bases linked to cell phone towers and cell phones, will be dismantled as the harmful effects can no longer be tolerated. This is huge. I won't really go into this much right now, but just remember that this technology can link up to military bases and then cell phone towers and then cell phones, and it's part of a mind control experiment on the planet. This is no longer going to be tolerated. Cell phone manufacturers will be called to install from the factory a device to protect the user from harmful radiation. It'll probably take an act of Congress as more evidence points to cancer. And of course, the insurance agencies eventually will ask you, how much time do you spend on your cell phone? And depending on your answer will depend on what they're going to charge you for their insurance. That will happen.
And cell phone tower, cell phone radiation is more detrimental to starseed?
Absolutely. You know what it's like? It's beyond the fingernails on the blackboard. And I've noticed recently that when the wind interacts with cell phone towers, it creates another dynamic that is so harmful to brain activity. It's like, you know, it's like it's coming, energies are coming at you sideways, and you feel like you're leaning, trying to walk, and your balance kind of gets off. And then you get angry. A lot of anger comes just from having to deal with the wind. If there's anybody out there that wants to send an email to me and tell me their experiences about dealing with the wind lately, I'd be happy to hear about this, because I know it's happening. So, and also, you know, let's talk a little bit about the Earth's axis. There's going to be a lot of earthquakes, volcanoes. We're going to have a lot of people leave the planet. And they're going to recycle, or they're going to leave. Migratory workers will also be included in this mass walk-in demonstration from all races, as traveling light and temporary residence is preferred by many.
You mean the walk-ins that come would rather have not too many encumbrances?
That's
as
right.
You know, like the mortgage, the kids, the car, the house.
Got it.
So the migratory workers are easier to work with.
And we're going to see a lot of them come across the border from Mexico. Isn't that going to be a shock? And look at the controversy that's happening over Arizona. I mean, this is really something that's this is going to be a very interesting experiment to watch coming from Mexico.
And what you said in part one, our radio show from the other night, that one of the messages that you got from the Teton meetings from the Pleiadians and other council members that were there was that we all must be more tolerant of people who are different from us.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. Okay, astrology, astronomy, science, religion, they come together in another alignment of reason. You know, they've been kind of circling the wagons with, you know, those four things for some time. It's going to kind of go into another form. There's going to be another addition to these foursomes of astrology, astronomy, science, and religion. I mean, there's another term that's going to be coined that's going to surface, that's going to combine them all to bring people further into their understanding of the coded messages on the tapestry of the codes from the stars. And it's going to be profound. This is beyond the Da Vinci Code.
Wow.
Okay.
Imagine science, religion coming together.
It is going to happen. This is probably one of the most exciting things that we were told at the Teton meetings that would be coming in May. I love this. I just got very excited, and I said, put my hand up and said, I really want to be on the front lines for this one. So you can ask. If you're conscious enough to play, then you're conscious enough to ask. and you can ask where you want to play. And of course, they look and say, okay, that's your natural state. Okay, that's your rites of passage. Go for it. Now, people that put their hand up, say, oh, I want to play. They'll look and say, no, that's not your natural state. No, that's not your rites of passage. And if you go there, you'll just mess things up. You know, a lot of people get excited about information because they're information junkies. But they really don't have the rites of passage to go there. All these people that are trying to go to France to go to René La Chateau on these tours and everything and wanting to get involved in finding, you know, the scrolls or, you know, being a part of that, some of those people have rites of passage to be there. Other ones don't. And it's real hard to tell somebody, hey, that's not for you, go sit down. That's a very hard thing to do. And yet, with this new balancing procedure coming from the Pleiadians, what it's going to do, it's going to just kind of turn their window to where they're going to be more interested in the things that they really are aligned to. The curiosity part, that can just go so far. That thing about curiosity kill the cat, yeah.
Well, in that case, all they could do is intend success and protection for those who do have the rites of passage to play there.
Yeah.
Give them intentional support and kind of stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Stay out of the kitchen is a good
one. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Calvin Burrell deciding that he wants to play basketball.
Yeah.
Isn't that the man's name that just won the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah. Calvin Burrell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the best jockey in the world decides he wants to play basketball.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Or be an elevator operator. You know, it's like, what?
One or the other. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, Calvin Burrell will be riding in the Preakness.
That's today.
That's today. Yes. Yes. That's today. And it'll happen here in just, you know, a couple of hours. And I'm really hoping that he'll win. Although we have a configuration where it looks like maybe a long shot might be. I mean, long shots are going to be prevalent. And this is definitely on Pleiadian lineup. So there's no telling how many Pleiadians are going to be involved in this race today. So I'm really anxious to see what's going to happen. The chart. I do charts for the races. And I look for, you know, the configurations that tell me certain things. But and maybe I'll just have a, you know, something special written maybe later about it, or we'll maybe do a show on it later.
For people that don't haven't read about your information on the Galactic Horse program and experiment, we can go into that at another time.
Yes, yes. So, my family was in horses for a very long time, and I put my hand up for Galactic Horses when I was in Cairo. And you know what? My natural state, my rites of passage, and through the years I've been able to have contact with horses that do have galactic beings sitting in their consciousness. And you're right, that'll be another subject matter.
So all these changes, do you have any more that you wanted to mention before we...
Yeah, I have a couple. Oh,
okay.
Airplane travel will be a focus of many walk-ins, as an abundance of them are in the transportation recreation business. This is food, hotel, recreation destinations will be areas of interchange for many starseed walk-ins. This includes pilots, stewardesses, you know, travel agents. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. This is like, whoa.
Well, people moving around and being mm-hmm. switched in locations and
right.
Like the men on the strategy board.
Right.
Does it have anything to do with the titanium in the airplanes as well?
Absolutely. The titanium in the wings of the airplane throws such a frequency into the system. I used to just fly and sit over the wings and have communications and write. I was with a very wealthy man for a very long time, and we just purchased airplane tickets and just got up in the sky and flew a lot so I could write. And, of course, that was very expensive, but, you know, we had the means to do it at that time. So, yes, the titanium and the airplanes are very conducive for transferring of information. I would like to mention, however, that... you know, some of the walk-ins on the planet, will have a, there's a kind of a central place. You know, there's like a central headquarters for certain things. And this is going to shock you, maybe not. But Las Vegas, Nevada is Galactic Walk-In Central.
Hmm.
It is the place where hundreds and hundreds of thousands of walk-ins go for tune-ups, exchanges, information. I mean, the place has been set from the inception, of even Bugsy Siegel was part of the Pleiadian experiment to lay down the Las Vegas track. They needed a place that was out in the middle of nowhere to grow from, to experiment from. And if you think about it, the perfect place, because you know, you can be in Vegas in a few hours from any place, you know, in the world. So a lot of, I mean, it's Galactic Central as far as I'm concerned, and I've lived there twice. I've experienced it. I've experienced seeing the ETs on the corner. Sometimes they'll go in and they'll lift clothes out of a store and sunglasses, and the tags are still on their sunglasses, the tags are still on their clothes. That's how you know who they are. They're not smart enough to take the tags off.
Well, like you said, sometimes it's been 3,500 years since they were here. They haven't quite got the rules down yet.
Yeah.
And I suppose that, you know, in Las Vegas, people just don't notice. They don't take any, it's like, it's just another, they're much more tolerant, maybe, hard to shock them.
Yeah. I want to end my list with this one. War of the Minds experiment will be so maximized that many will not make it on the planet, as many will die from heart attacks and fright, while others will instigate war with others that they do not understand. The Blood Coatings faction will be launched in order for the balance to come forth for the changing of the guard. This also is in alignment when the sun will activate Galactic Center at 26 degrees of Sagittarius on December 21st, 2012. With the present mixing of blood and the UFO disclosure on the planet, there seems to be no other way except to allow the War of the Minds to take place without interference or intervention. The only intervention would be in case of atomic war, and that is the safeguard, as this will not be tolerated. Many Pleiadian walk-ins have had this duty for a long time, and many of them will not be going home because of their dedication to preserve the planet and its people. A special leave of absence from the Pleiades was extended to these courageous, honorable beings, and the planet of Earth will never truly know of their sacrifice not to go home, as others will get to do.
What exactly do you mean, the War of the Minds?
Okay. If I think different from you, and I put up a church, and you go put up a church, and then we just start warring over this religious difference, that's the War of the Minds. If I have a system of banking, and you have a system of banking, and I try to outthink you about your money, that's a War of the Minds. If I have information, and I keep it from you, like the government and the disclosure, and I keep you in bondage for years and revolve around stupidity and ignorance, that's War of the Minds. If I decide to send a bomb into your town strapped to a person that, and I tell them they're going to, you know, have, you know, 96 virgins when they die, that's War of the Minds.
So pretty much every war that's ever been,
yeah,
has started off that way.
Now, when you up it to technology, think about this. There's the implant War of the Minds. This is where people are implanted and their implants have a war. Now, that one's kind of freaky, but we're coming to that area now.
Well, because there are other races here that are not aligned with the Pleiadians and the Federation, and they have their own agenda, their own programs, and they may be in conflict with the Pleiadian credo of protecting the people and the planet.
That's right. You know, I've just listed, you know, some of the assignments. I'm not listing them all because some would be in jeopardy just by announcing them. I've announced the ones that need to be, you know, on the list. I didn't really mention all the health aspects. That's going to be given in a later report. And, you know, people that have this information, please use discernment when you pass this on. There are certain malefic forces that really do not want this to go viral on the internet. So if you do have a select group of people that you want to send it to, you know, just think twice before you, you know, send it out of the circle of starseed. Try to identify, you know, your starseed alignments. I would kind of like to talk about the Pleiadian walk-in, walk-out walk-in adjustments. The polarity, the male-female, relationship with others, personal and professional business, partnerships, romantic bonds, the financial structure, friends, family, pets, dietary adjustments, fashion, style, color, metaphysical, religion, philosophical, mental, emotional, spiritual, galactic, and contract on unfinished karma, health and healing concerns. Those are just the brief subject matters that the walk-in and walk-outs and walk-ins will, you know, be, they've been focusing all on this for the past 6 months. Now, there have been some walk-ins that came in 1983, and they've been kind of dormant, and they've been kind of, you know, working from behind the scenes and doing a lot of things. We're going to see that wave of Pleiadians step forward in ways that may be really, really shocking. And I know who some of them are on the planet, so I'm going to be paying very close attention to some of these walk-ins that did come in 1983.
Would you give us a physical description of the Pleiadians?
Are you talking about their form when they lived on their planet?
When you have interacted with them, do they have physical form?
Oh, yes, they have physical form. They're very tall. The ones that I deal with mostly have been tall, blonde, blue-eyed, very Nordic. Their eyes are very, very clear. And in some instances, I've seen the blue eyes that almost pale into, I mean, it's a kind of an iridescent white. It's a, and some of them have even golden eyes. They have different blood banks. They have, you know, they have an assortment of beings that are, they're not all, they don't all look the same, just kind of like we don't all look the same here. I want to give some recognition to someone. Her name is Jo Amidon, Amidon, and she has a website called www.lightconnection.org. And the reason that I want to give her recognition, she has written a little booklet called Where Are You Really From? And it's a family of light guide to self-understanding through planetary origin. And what she has written about the Pleiadians is right on. When I read it, I said, yes, this is really part of what we're doing now, is to acknowledge the Pleiadian lineup and some of the gifts that the Pleiadians have brought to us in DNA. And I'd just kind of like to share some of the DNA that was brought from the Pleiades to Earth to be used in creation of life forms. And some of these life forms, along with those created or altered by early Pleiadians, include the following. Animals: beaver, Pleiades Andromeda, bluebird, bobcat, cat, cheetah, cougar, doodlebug, dove, eagle, emu, feline family, flamingo, flying squirrel, heron, jaguar, koala bear, leopard, lions, llama, lynx, mountain lion, mouse, ocelot, ostrich, panda, panther, pigeon, seagull, starfish, tiger, whooping crane. Now to the plants and the trees.
Now all that whole list?
That's the animals that the Pleiadian DNA brought.
Okay.
The plants and trees. African violet, annatto, asparagus, aster, avocado, lentils, lettuce, lilac, magnolia, mango, bedstraw, black locust, black willow, burdock, cabbage, marigold, carob, catnip, cayenne, cedar, chive, cocoa, chocolate. They brought chocolate.
Yay, Pleiadians.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cola nut. Yeah, cocoa and cola nuts. Okay. Columbine, crocus, cypress, daffodil, daisy, dandelion, dill, echinacea, garbanzo beans, gardenia, germania, goldenrod, golden seal, hickory, honey locust, honeysuckle, kidney bean, kiwi, lavendar, which is Andromeda and Pleiadian, marijuana, marjoram, marshmallow, morning glory, mushroom, nutmeg, onion, oregano, palms, paprika, peach, peanut, pennyroyal, peppercorn, pomegranate, potato, primrose, purple cornflower, sage, shepherd's purse, snapdragon, squash, yellow, St. John's wort, sunflower, sweet potato, sycamore, tomato, tulip, vanilla, violet, weeping willow, wild rose, and wintergreen. So, you know, as I was reading these, I was like, oh, I like that one. Oh, I like that one too. And that one lives in my house a lot. You know, it's like when I started reading the list, and it's like, okay. And I went and I researched through my sources, and it's like, yeah, all that is true. And I really want to commend the people that put together this whole book, because it's just so informational. And now to the stones. The stones. Agate. Amethyst, anglesite, apatite, lapis lazuli, lepidolite, moonstone rainbow, azurite, cat's eye, chrysocolla, Pleiades, Andromeda, fluorite, all varieties, gypsum, Herkimer diamond, howlite, phenakite, rhodochrosite, rose quartz, rutilated quartz, rutile, and thulite. So those are the stones that they brought. And I just, you know, as you read through the different chapters of the book, and they have the different origins in the book from I think there are listed, there's Andromeda, Apollonia, Arcturus, Maldek, Orion, Pleiades, Pylvia, Cirrus, and Vega, Zeta, Lyra, and Alpha Centauri. And they each talk about their personalities, but also list in the back are high-profile personalities and some of the people on the planet with mixed blood, and it shows who they are. Very interesting book. So I want to give that website again, www.lightconnection.org. And I would like to contact, I haven't contacted her yet to tell her of our work, but I plan to.
Other species that you've had contact with, are they also humanoid?
You know, most of them are, but there, you know, there's one being that I had a lot of contact with. His name was Pri. He was blue. He stood about 12 feet tall and had three rows of teeth.
Three.
Instead of two that chew, there's three that, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It scared me at first. It was alarming at first. It was back in 1975, and I was very young and impressionable, and I was living in the Hollywood Hilton, and he appeared in my room one night and told me he was there to bring me information, and he was there to help train me. And I said, train me for what, a circus? I was very rude. When he first showed up, I was, you know, my mouth was like a torn pocket, and I was rude. But I got over it, and he brought me a lot of information. And he came directly off the starship Bethlehem, where, you know, he has been residing ever since Atlantis. And he was blue. So I have not seen the movie Avatar, but I understand all the beings are blue in the movie. It makes me wonder if that's where he came from.
You don't. So you don't know what race he belonged to?
You know, I used to know. I just don't have it right now. You know,
some of the Andromedans can be blue.
That, you know, after three lightning strikes, there's just things that have left me. You know, I'd have to go and see what I wrote about it. I have missing years. I have missing days where, you know, I don't have it in my memory bank. And that's one reason they have to give me shots along the way. They bring me back with, you know, say, oh, she doesn't remember those years, so here, give her a shot to remember. I remember when I need to. It's kind of hard
good.
To explain. It's kind of hard to explain.
Okay.
Well, you know, in closing, you know, I would like to end on a lighter note of thought. You know, this is going to be a very, very exciting adventure for a lot of us who've been involved with, you know, the Pleiadian experiments 1, 2, and 3, especially over the last 50,000 years or so. We're going to be reunited with loved ones with whom we have so much history that it will feel like home just to acknowledge them or get to know them personally again, and many that we'll see on television or through the media or the internet. And the recognition, it's going to be overwhelming to some of us. This is going to take both positive and negative in its effects. You know, there's going to be some stalking going on because of this. And sorry to say, it just happens that way. You know, discernment's a must. Don't quit your day job in order to fly on a whim of a Pleiadian excitement, you know. Take your time. Question everything to your satisfaction. Why? Truth knows its own source. And the other code, nobody said what this would look like. You know, these are two phrases I've come to know as dynamic codes that neutralize doubt at any level. So what should a person be doing on these Pleiadian dates, especially the ones on May 15th to the 20th? Try to be your own counsel, away from other influences, and listen to your higher self as you align to these dates. Not everyone will resonate to Pleiadian lineup, but those who have Pleiadian missions and bloodlines will resonate. And for those sleeping Pleiadians who will be so strongly awakened in May, let me personally acknowledge your arrival by extending my support for your brave and courageous mission to our planet. We know that coming through the veil without direct memory is hard, and there are others like yourself. So know that you're not alone, as millions came with you and are waiting for connection. And for those of you who came through the veil with direct memory, please help the rest of your Pleiadian brothers and sisters align with us at whatever level of comfort you desire to participate in.
And I think we can all add our support to that statement as well. Well, Lavender, I think it's about time to open up the lines. You ready to take some questions?
Absolutely, and I'll stay as long as you want me to talk.
Okay, that number to call in is 917-889-8292. So 917-889-8292.
And also, you know, we have international calling. I can call on Skype and talk to anybody in the world anywhere. If people want to contact me and want to know about their star markings in their charts, You can go on our website and we can make an appointment, and I can call you and we can talk by phone.
So that would be starseedhotline.com, and that number is 888-881-0881. Easy to remember.
Well, we have a caller that I think might be on Skype because the number is 111. So if you are there with a comment or question, you're on the air. Hello? Are you calling from Skype? Are you calling from out of the country? You're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold and go to the next caller. Okay, if you're calling from Area 541, you're on the air.
Oh,
Do you have a comment or question?
No, just to say hello. I didn't realize I wasn't trying to get through, but I'm just saying hello. Yeah, thank you.
Well, hello. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ashland, Oregon. And I got another call and came back on, and when I came back on, anyway, that's how come I ended up where I am right now with a live question, but I don't really have one.
Well,
I have to say hello to Lavender.
No, is that you, Mary?
Yes, it is me.
Oh, this is the greatest. Listen, Mary Plum is a very great astrologer. She's with Mountain Astrologer. And I love everything she writes, and she's one of my dear friends through the telephone and through the internet. I have not met her in person, but she's been a great help to me for a couple or 3 years now. So thank you, Mary, for coming on.
Yeah,
and,
no,
saying hey to us.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, we will move on to the next caller then. Thanks, Mary.
Yes, thank you.
A caller from 936 area code, you're on the air. Do you have a question or comment?
Is that me?
That's you.
All right. Well, first of all, hello, Lavender.
Hello.
And to the previous woman that called, Mary, I guess you said her name was. It's interesting. Last year I was doing a lot of work with a woman near Medford, Oregon. She had 11 white buffalo on her property. And
11 white buffalo on her property?
Yes.
Wow.
And these aren't the average white buffalo either. They were born brown and turned white.
Oh.
And there's white people who own them, Caucasians, I should say, and they're trying to turn a dollar off them, charge people to see them, so forth and so on. And so there was a big ruckus over that last year that I helped even out. I could feel other influences. The man that lives with her, he would see lights in the sky, and one night they were engulfed in a green beam of light for about 3 seconds. And I said, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you who it was, but somebody was removing certain energies from your physical body because you don't need to be involved with the buffalo right now. So there were entities, and I can't say if it was Pleiadians or who it was, but there are other races that have a vested interest in making sure those white buffalo get back to Native Americans. That's all I could discern from that.
Yeah, it sounds pretty right on to me. That's very interesting. I would like to, if you would email me at Lavendar, Lavandar, starseedhotline.com.
Okay.
And if you would email me some information about that, I would really like to be involved with that and
okay.
to keep up with it.
Sure, I've got
and,
pictures
yeah,
of
and,
buffalo, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I'm very familiar with white buffalo. In fact, I've had a lot of training with white buffalo woman ceremonies, and I'm very akin to the North Shield. So that would be, you know, an honor for me to stay in contact with you about this.
Yeah, she kept telling me that the field that she was keeping the buffalo in, which is about a 30-acre area, how it was so entranced with energy and stuff. And her boyfriend, who is half Choctaw, half Japanese, went out there and took pictures to send to me, and coming to the surface of the ground in that field in certain areas are little clusters of crystals. And I said, you know, it's not an accident you found those, and it's no accident she feels that field is full of energy, because it really is, and the buffalo like it there.
Right.
When those people came to tuck the buffalo away, they put up a big fight. And I told her, I said, don't be surprised if those buffalo trample some of those guys, because they don't want to leave.
Oh.
And it came pretty close.
Well, you know what? There's going to be something happening this week with those buffalo, so just keep your eye on what's happening.
Well, for myself, I don't really try to discern where I came from. I know that I've explored through past life regression, or whatever you'd like to call it, I've explored why I'm here. I had to be asked 3 times to come here, and I agreed to come here. Third time I was asked, I made the choice to come here and be who I am, and it's been a difficult life up until this point, but I've started waking up. But there's little things I've said all my life, and I didn't understand why I was saying them. One of the things I started saying when I was a teenager is life is not supposed to be this way. Meaning I was looking around at the world around me and how people interacted and what they would do to each other, and I would just say life is not supposed to be this way. Because wherever I came from, I know life is not supposed to be this way. It just... We, you know, love and service to others and responsibility are the biggest paradigms that we all go by there, wherever it's at. The other thing I was saying since I was a teenager, and I don't know why I would say it, I would say the sleeper must awaken. And so I had no way to understand that, really. I would just say it, and I would kind of puzzle over it a little bit. Recently, I spoke with a man, and he was reading me through his guides. I didn't ask him to. He was just reading me. And he said, you know, your confusion is natural. He said, but you need to understand that you made a contract when you came into this life that you would not awaken like you're doing now until the mid part of your life. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. So... Now I'm going through all these awakenings at 40 years old, and I'm like, okay, I can't even find this kind of stuff in a sci-fi novel. I mean, over the last 2 years, I've experienced in person Sasquatch 7 different times. I can hear animals when they communicate to me and clearly get their intention and what they want. And my most recent experience for the last 2.5 months is I've had communication with autistic children. And had women on the phone that I was talking to validated for me, because I was telling them things I had no way of knowing whatsoever. And I kept telling those women, I don't know what I'm telling you. I'm just repeating what I'm hearing from these autistic children.
Wow.
So that's something that has come about in my expansion or growth. And I'm telling you, there's no guidebook for this. So is there anything you can tell me that would help me kind of even out and fly straight and narrow? Hello?
Lavender, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just thinking about, you know, what you just said. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. You know, this waking up time that you're having, and it's true, a lot of people's DNA and their blood crystals are coming alive. And, of course, you did come here kind of against your will in some areas. And then when you said that you were asked 3 times to come, yeah, that is the formula for coming. And now that you're here and now that the times are upon us to go to work, you're going to be feeling a lot better about coming here. You're going to have more, you know, the honoring of your presence here is going to be acknowledged more by people that are in your sphere. Your relationships are going to change to the point where you're going to have more support. And when you were talking about the autistic children, the reason that you can identify with autism is because that some form of DNA has been activated in them through some chemical reaction in their brain, and you seem to know how to help them in some manner. There's something that you're holding in your frequency that rises above normal thought and goes into some kind of genius aspect. So that's what I'm tuning into about that. And you do have a great deal of depth in your soul. I feel that very strongly. And I'd be real anxious to see what your chart looks like. So thank you so much for calling today.
No, I just want to tell you something else. You mentioned being struck by lightning. Have you been struck by lightning?
3 times.
Yeah, when I was 23 years old, I was sitting in the house and was struck in the foot by lightning and thrown across the room. Yeah,
wow.
I took no physical damage from the lightning bolt whatsoever.
Well, I was hit 3 times. The first time, I wasn't hurt that badly. It just kind of rearranged my friends and my life. The second time hurt me a great deal. And the third time came through the phone and knocked me out. And then when I woke up, I saw a spaceship coming across the top of I was in Sedona, and I saw the spaceship leaving the top of the mountain. So I'm not quite sure whether that was an ET lightning strike or just a normal lightning strike. My theory is that it was an ET lightning strike. So.
Yeah. About the autistic children, I find them that. Three of them that I've communicated with have told me that they chose to be that way on purpose, which naturally led to the question, why did you choose that? And each one of those souls in that child has told me because they can very easily maintain contact with where their soul came from.
That makes a lot of sense. I understand that.
And the 11-year-old girl that's autistic, she is a bit of a smarty pants. And she knows that I'm a bit of a smarty pants, too. So she started cramming my head full of equations and shapes. And I had to tell her to stop or I would break off communication because it was actually starting to give me a headache and it was making my eyes flutter. And I could hear her laughing, and I'm like, okay. She said, I knew you would take it as a joke. And I'm like, okay. The one shape that stuck in my head out of everything she was cramming in there was a pyramid, a three-sided pyramid. But coming up through the bottom of the three-sided pyramid was a much smaller four-sided pyramid. And they were rotating in opposite directions. I have no idea what that means.
Well, it's a code of creation. That's what it is. And that's part of a formula for the code of creation.
Okay. Well, she can access knowledge I can't because, again, she can easily maintain contact with the other side. What's really interesting about her, the next time I spoke with her, I noticed something very different about her, and I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm maintaining my connection with the network on this planet. I said, okay, how do you know about the network on this planet, the collective consciousness? She goes, I pulled it out of your head. I'm like, that's cheating. She goes, but it gives me a reason to stay in my body more because now I can contact other life forms on this planet without having to be on the other side. Okay.
I get it.
So she can now access the collective consciousness on this planet, all life forms that can speak telepathically. And it gives her more time in her physical body because in order to access that network, she needs to be in her physical body to do that. So as a result, the teacher she has that I contacted or went through called me. And she goes, Thomas, I saw something today that I didn't get until the end of the day. I said, what happened? She said, that girl went out on the playground at recess time with all the other children, and all the other children came back into school screaming in terror. I said, okay, what happened? A swarm of bees came to the playground and she was the only one sitting out there, and the bees were landing all over her, and she was just laughing and giggling and having the best time. I've never seen anything like it. And then the bees left, and I was really worried she was going to get stung to death. But at the end of the day, when I took her out to her mom's truck, I put her in the front seat, and she looked me in the eye, which she never does, pointed her finger at me and wiggled it and went bzzz. I said, oh, she called the bees in, okay. So she's learning about that collective consciousness, and apparently insects are very in tune with this collective consciousness as well.
Absolutely, and when there is a high-frequency beam happening from the brain, I have experienced a swarm of bees around my head several times with, you know, incoming information. When ships are in the area, bees will come. Bees are very, very attuned to Pleiadian frequencies. You're going to see the bees probably go into some form of shape and size and fashion in the next week because they're real attuned to, you know, what happens during this period during Pleiadian lineup. And, of course, we know what's been happening to the bees on the planet. And I really do think that some of the cell phone towers and the technologies have them really screwed up in their frequencies. But that's a very interesting story about this girl and the bees.
That's right there near Medford, Oregon, is where it's at, near Mary. I hope. I don't know exactly where Mary's at, but it's in the same state.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, a lot of people claim that Billy Myers was a hoax, and I just want to say to any of those people that think that, after looking at his videos and photographs that everybody says is a hoax and tries to debunk, there are stone graphics on the cave walls of the Hopi Nation that have been there, that were drawn 3,500 years ago, that are nearly identical to the photographs that Billy Myers has.
I know Billy Myers, and I went to Switzerland. I investigated that case back in the early 80s. I know Lee and Brett Elders. I believe me when I say this is a very true account of Pleiadian contact, and the stress that he went through bringing his story to light. I don't know how many times they've tried to kill him, 25, 26 times they've tried to kill this man, and he just, nobody can kill him. But that the Billy Myers story is truly one of the best stories on the planet about Pleiadians, and I really do honor his work. And when the first video came out about him, they brought it to me and said, here, try this out, you know, take it around and show it to people. For about 6 weeks, I got in my car and flew on airplanes and went and showed it to different groups. The things that I found out about it were, please do not drink alcohol and watch this movie. People started losing it. There's a frequency on the film that if you're drinking alcohol, it will just really mess with you. There is the sound that the ship makes.
Ah.
And because of that, they were never able to release this film in the theaters to the public. And, of course, that really upset a lot of people because they had it planned for theaters and they couldn't do it. And
I
came back saying, look, I got out with my life on several occasions because people were having a party and they were drinking and they saw the film and they almost killed me. You know, so it's like we just can't afford to take it to the theaters. That's just a little side note.
Well, I mentioned the Hopi Indians because you had mentioned something about walk-ins not being here for 3,500 years.
No, I said some walk-ins haven't been.
Oh, okay.
There's groups
right.
of them that are coming this time that haven't been here for a very long time. And 3,500 years is an area that I do know a group is coming from.
And it was interesting you mentioned that because the stone graphics on the Hopi cave walls of the Pleiadian ships are estimated to be about 3,500 years old.
Yeah, well, good.
So that kind of validates what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, well, thank you for taking my call, and I'll be in touch with you.
Please do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We are going to take the next caller now from the 818 area code, 818. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ariel. Do you have a question or comment for Lavendar?
Yes, I'm really, really enjoying your show. I think it's fantastic. And
well, thank you.
Actually, I listen to the two of them last night till about 2 a.m. I was just, you know, the back one. I found you, so I had to listen today. I resonate with a lot of what you're saying, and it's so the sequence of just you turning up too is great, because I'm writing something right now, and you're just giving me all the confirmation of messages that I've been receiving, which I think is going to be kind of a big thing in the film industry. And
oh, good.
So, yeah. I've already written one, so this is the second one, but it's, I think, going to be a shaker. So I'm excited about that. But I just wanted to share something that happened to me, because I've been through a lot of different spiritual experiences and all different things, from having orbs turn up right in front of me recently, where it overtook my vision in one of my eyes. That was the eye in front of me, about 18 inches away from me, was a huge crimson circle with a blue center. And I'd actually just heard this amazing show that I just thought these people just missed the boat about spirituality. It was on ABC, but they didn't quite go to that level. It's like they're afraid the media to take it to that next level. And so I was in a very open, conscious space at the time, and I just had a very light TV light on the background, and suddenly this thing just appeared, and it kind of I wouldn't say freaked me out, but I rubbed my eye thinking, oh, there's something wrong with my eye. I'm seeing, you know, my vision is just taken over by this big circle. And so I sort of moved my head away, and when I came back, it was still there. And so I knew it wasn't my eye. I knew it was something that I was seeing. And it was quite magical because, seeing energy like that and knowing that it's from something or somewhere or some, you know, being. Once I kind of relaxed, I just sort of said, oh, you're quite lovely, aren't you? You're very beautiful. Thank you for visiting me. And it just then left. So lots of silly things like that. Oh, I said them silly, but to me, they're becoming quite normal. And
yes, I have had those experiences with that same exact configuration. I used to call it the eye of God.
Oh,
it'd show up,
I
and
like
I'd say,
that.
Oh, there's the eye of God. And then a lady showed up with an actual stone that looked just like it, and I had it for a period of time. But, yes, that's you know, it usually comes during Pleiadian lineup, and also during the Teton meetings. It's a little scout ship that it's not like a ship, but it's a device that comes and it monitors and it gives off signals about its surroundings. It's a monitoring device.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. It's exciting. I know you've got other callers and things, but about two years ago, I had an experience that was sort of beyond life here on this planet for sure. I went into a meditative state, and within seconds, I saw myself on a meditation table, and there were two gentlemen standing, or was it actually a man and a woman in a doctor's kind of a uniform. And he actually smiled at me, and we smiled back like, well, you know, this is good. And then he put his hand over my mouth, and my physical body couldn't breathe. And I went into a shudder. And as I shuddered, my whole body turned to kind of an electrical energy of just pure light. And I shot out the bottom of my feet so fast that I ended up seeing just nothing but bright blue. And then I discovered I was looking down on planet Earth. And as I was looking at planet Earth, I realized that I was out there looking at planet Earth, literally. And then my eyes moved to the side, and they showed me another planet Earth, except I saw two at the same time, but the second one was covered in stars. And they were almost like drawn stars. They were like hugely bigger than like a kid drew stars on an Earth. Do you know what I mean in the picture?
Yes, I do.
And I saw it, and I went, "Whoa! I really believe you now." That was what I said consciously, And I instantly was back on the table. And then the man kind of like lifted me up, like I was sitting up, and I was smiling, and I went, wow, that was really amazing. Like, thank you. And I actually, in my body physically on the couch, kind of opened my eyes, and I looked at the clock, and it had only been like a few minutes that I had actually gone into this meditation. So it wasn't like a long event. It happened very quickly. I wasn't asleep. I was like wide awake. But after I sort of like had this experience, I then closed my eyes and I passed out like solidly for about a good hour and a half, like gone. Just I needed to, I think, recenter my energy again through sleep.
Yes, but, and I also feel
so
like,
what do you think of that one?
I feel like
lock me
that
up.
Happened because of things that you're going to be involved in later, and I feel like you are going to be very closely involved with walk-ins and the walk-in energy and the story of walk-ins. And you probably have a temporary walk-in now that has come and to be with you. So please stay in touch with me. Email me at lavender@starseedonline.com.
Lavender, I already emailed you this morning. I sent you my chart and, I mean, my time because I want to PayPal one of your things, but I asked you which one would be more advisable because whichever one you think
okay.
I'm open for.
I have not seen my email.
No, no, that's okay. Well, listen, I will let you continue with your show. I'd actually like to finish listening to the last minute or so while you close over. And thank you so much for taking my time on
thank
the air.
You.
I really appreciate it and sharing my story because I know there's so much magic out there in the universe that we don't even want to, you know, if people could just open their heart to it, it would just be so amazing on this planet.
It's
going to
be amazing.
About,
it's going to be amazing because people like you are going to write and get the message out through films, and it's going to happen. It is going to happen.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
You're so welcome.
And we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Love and light. Bye.
We do have one more caller from the 717 area.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. And I just before you ask your question or make your comment, I just want to let everybody know that although we're only going to be on the air for two more minutes, we can continue answering questions, and then when it goes to the archive, it will all be there in its entirety. So if if the show ends while you're listening to it, just wait a few minutes, and then you can go pick it up again on demand on our show page, which would be Starseed Radio Academy. So go ahead with your question or comment.
I'm you know, maybe waking up very slowly. I was on a call with a Starseed group, and they said that everybody on the call was from Pleiades. And I had been drawn to everything Pleiadian, and I don't know. Can you verify that at all? Can you read my energy?
No, I can't verify what you're speaking of. I don't have enough information about it. You know, that's another person's call. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You'd have
that
to,
would.
I just.
You'd have
I'm
to
really
start.
Drawn to everything
information about it.
Okay.
Where is 717? Where is that?
That's Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. It's near Lancaster.
Yeah.
Where the Amish people live.
Okay.
Beautiful country.
Yeah, okay.
I have a very
wonderful voice. I do get a voice print from you where I'm feeling like that you need to get out into nature more.
Yes.
There's some surroundings in your environment where you are. There's some pollution that's not good for you, and I just feel like that you need to be out in the sunshine more because, you know, the sunshine is a great disinfectant, and I just feel like that you need to be out in the open spaces this week. And through
very
this
good.
Week in the Pleiadian lineup, I think you're going to have a real interesting contact, especially
all right.
today, okay?
Okay.
If you go ahead and email Lavendar at starseedhotline.com.
Okay.
She can track your Pleiadian origins, but it will take a little bit of
Okay.
Time there.
Yeah, my name's Dorothy. I forgot to say that. I was so excited about getting on. It's so good to talk to you lovely people.
Well,
I'll let you go. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to thank you for calling, and I thank our other callers as well. We will be on the air again next week, and the show time will be published on our show page, so just check there. And again, our website is starseedhotline.com. You can contact Lavendar through there. And also check out all the information that we have in the Vault of Knowledge there. And until next time, Lavendar, thank you so much.
Thank
all
you.
Of your work.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on Pleiadian Lineup.
One more thing I do want to mention, that Lavendar's two books, the Crystal Book and 50 Questions, will be available as an ebook in June. So that will also be on the Starseed Hotline website. So keep your eye open on that. So everyone, have a very, very happy and enlightening Pleiadian lineup. Lavendar, thank you. I love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.
Hello?